KCO, 1230 AM, W255 DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei is expected to speak momentarily as the country's conflict with Israel enters day number six and the U.S. considers intervening. The Eurasia Group's Ian Bremmer.
The longer the war goes on, the more likely you're going to see an Iranian rally around the flag effect because more Iranian civilians are going to get killed.
He's a fan.
I have a warm spot in my heart for TikTok because I won youth by 34 points.
President Trump expected to sign an executive order, once again extending the deadline for TikTok's Chinese parent company to divest. Members of Congress asking for more security after two Minnesota lawmakers and their spouses were shot at their homes. One couple was killed. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This dangerous environment isn't spontaneous. It's being stoked, often deliberately, by the reckless rhetoric coming from some of the most powerful voices in the country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. We're learning which Wisconsin lawmakers were on the Minnesota shooter's so-called hit list. Lisa Hale reports.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin's office confirmed her name was on the manifesto of the Minnesota assassin. A spokesperson in Baldwin's office told Civic Media's Dan Schaefer that Baldwin was informed by law enforcement that she was included on the alleged shooter's list of names, and that she, quote, remains focused on the things that matter most here, honoring the legacy and life of Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, praying for the other victims who are fighting for their lives, and condemning this abhorrent, senseless political violence, end quote. 11 Wisconsin-based lawmakers are reported to have appeared on Vance Bolter's hit list.
And he allegedly posed as a police officer to get into lawmakers' homes. Now, Wausau police want you to know what to look for. Here's Lieutenant Phillips.
Patrol officers all wear a uniform. So they're going to have a standard uniform on. It's going to have the Wausau police patches on either shoulder. They're going to have a badge identifying them as a Wausau officer. You know, if any plainclothes officers, whether it be detectives or some of our other officers that don't wear that standard uniform, all of them, if they're going out for enforcement action, wear what is called an outer carrier that's going to have police clearly on that. Their badge will be displayed on that as well.
If you are ever in question, you can ask to see their ID or call the police station to verify.
From chief down, if they're asked for, can provide or show the person their department-issued photo identification as well. It's issued by the department. If anything came up, you know, we would look into that. It is a crime in Wisconsin to impersonate a peace officer.
I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers lose in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's game two of the Brewers and Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. The Crew losing last night 5-3. Manager Pat Murphy's reaction after the defeat.
It was a good game. A lot of great defensive plays, both ends. They hit in the clutch. You know, they did some clutch hitting. Suzuki's homer changed the game. I'm proud of our guys. We did some good things. We didn't necessarily hit big situations, but leaving 10 guys on base or 9, whatever it was. But, you know, credit to their pitching staff and credit to their defense. You know, they got a great lineup.
The Cubs' Pete Crow Armstrong with a diving catch of Bryce Terang's liner in the 8th and followed that up with a 2-run homer in the 9th, 452 feet, hitting the scoreboard. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
That's why we come to the ballpark, to see things like that, to see great players do great things. Great players do amazing things. Pretty cool.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies to stay with us in the overnight with showers, even a couple of rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Light winds, morning lows of the lower 60s. On your Wednesday, showers and storms around, some locally heavy rainfall with highs in the upper 70s. Right now, it's 64.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's a Wednesday morning, June 18th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning, a little foggy, but beautiful to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all of our different platforms. Thanks for starting your day right here. That might include the Up North News Facebook page, where here's my first question for you. What's your life like if you're so grouchy that at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're going to put a comment up on somebody's Facebook going, "It has to hurt to be such a leftist hack. No sane person wants the left anywhere near power." And yet you want to be near us. That's adorable. Thank you for that comment. I mean, it's gone already, but you took the time to have some coffee and put up that little thing. Maybe coffee isn't such a great thing after all, Parker Olson, standing by in Madison A2.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to think coffee would help that person, whoever that is, but you know.
I like to think that person just needs to have a little reality check. That's what I think. I don't think it's the coffee, Pat.
it was a last minute replacement to my original question. Oh. Doesn't it seem wrong that a Florida hockey team has won the Stanley Cup again over a team from Canada?
Yes.
I mean, and I'd be saying that even if I hadn't spent the weekend in Canada with friends. I've been saying this for a long time. And again, it all started with some guy dragging the Minnesota North Stars down to Texas. Okay, I'm never going to root for a hockey team in Texas. But then you put one in Florida. Now there's two in Florida. And
they've both won championships fairly frequently for the last couple of years. Yeah,
right. And in Canada, not so much. So it just feels a little off. But I mean, if you really want things to feel off in the world of sports, the Brewers lost to the Cubs, which again, that's just wrong. The Cubs are in first place. That's the way things are going right now.
That's kind of the annoying thing is that the Cubs are actually very good.
Yeah,
it's a shame.
That's all. It's annoying. It's annoying. You look over at Craig Counsell and he's just smirking over there in the dugout. And you're like, yeah, well, you know.
Hey,
it's like,
good on Craig. He didn't get ejected last night. I'm proud of him for that. He got ejected two games in a row like last week. It was,
Little victories. Little victories for Craigers there. Coming up on the program today, the Republican-led legislature fell all over itself after the 2018 election to undermine Tony Evers and Josh Call even before they took office. They met in a lame duck session to strip away powers from the incoming governor and attorney general, and it has taken 6.5 years. But on Tuesday, a unanimous Wisconsin Supreme Court started taking steps to let lawmakers know that there are still three co-equal branches of government. We'll have more to say about that. We are, of course, tracking the progress of the next state budget bill through the Joint Finance Committee in the legislature, including some recent talk of punishing cuts to the University of Wisconsin system and recent moves about the gap between how Republicans support special education in voucher schools versus public schools. We'll talk to a school district finance director about the strain that that gap puts on all property taxpayers in the state. The president's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill working its way through the Senate not only has massive cuts to Medicaid and other vital programs, it also tries to kill the tax credits that could create a new generation of clean energy jobs. Republicans are suddenly having second thoughts. Not about protecting health care or any of that stuff, but at least protecting the tax credits that benefit their corporate friends who could create those new energy jobs in their states. We'll talk to Melissa Baldoff about that. We'll talk to Earl Ingram with a preview of tomorrow's Juneteenth celebration in Milwaukee and elsewhere. James Kelly will talk to us about stories he's covering across western and northern Wisconsin. And it's Wednesday, so it wouldn't be Wednesday without a visit from Melissa Kay in our Wisconsin Rapids station. Because, I mean, we put big money into the production of this jingle, so we are going to fly this pigeon right into the ground. It will be time for...
Pigeon Quest!
When will the day come that she just doesn't show up on Wednesday mornings? Because, you know, or when's the day where she shows up and there is a pigeon on her shoulder?
That's my question, because I think we're getting very close to her having
to
a
one
pigeon
or the other
just on her finger. She's going to pop into the call and have a pigeon just sitting on her finger there.
We're
going to go, wow. She actually managed to get a pigeon and not get robbed.
She got a pigeon. And look, she's training it so well. It's already doing tricks. It's holding up a little pigeon middle finger at me for making all the KFC jokes. And it's wearing pigeon pants. I still don't know if she's being on the up and up with us. Because honestly, I haven't cared enough about pigeon pants to Google them and see if they're a thing. But Melissa will give it. Oh, wait, you did?
Oh, yeah, I did. They're real.
So pigeon pants are real.
Pigeon pants are real, and they're spectacular.
You can text or comment on pigeon pants or any of the weighty topics of the day, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Use that Civic Media app as well, or put a comment on Facebook or YouTube. Maybe have your coffee first before you unleash any venom. Though I will say, well, first I'll say our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. You can send a comment that way. I will say that I got a little personal in one of my posts yesterday because, you know, we've got our question of the week from our Sunday newsletter, and that is, you know, should Governor Evers run for a third term? And I took the time to put into this post saying, hey, it's Pat here. Answer the question. Keep your venom to yourself. You know, we don't need the insults. We don't need the memes. You should see the memes that people work on, political memes, that they think are so funny. But, I mean, they're funny to Beavis and Butthead and not too many other people. I'm like, just don't. And when I looked at Facebook last night and I could see that post was already approaching 200 comments, it's like, as I put in the post, I said, the nice thing about our delete button is it's never off duty. We got no problem weeding the garden over here. And so I thought, well, okay, here we go. And actually, it wasn't too bad. And that includes all the people that don't want Tony Evers to run. That includes the people that don't like Tony Evers. And they by and large, you know, avoided the personal insults. I mean, they would say things like, you know, this state's gone to hell or something like that. But I mean, you're not going to get deleted for that. You know, it was the really personal stuff that some people just feel like this is their outlet for it is, you know, the comment sections. And I was just like, I don't want to play that game with this because a question like that invites all the invectives and everything. But folks, by and large, even if they weren't Tony Evers fans, they just they played by the rules, said what they want to say, and we will have the answers later on in the week about what people are saying about whether Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term. We talked to Dan Schaefer about that yesterday in our 8:30 half hour. So if you missed that, we'll play a little bit of it back here coming up at 6:30 as he covered the state Democratic convention. And let me remind you that our Sunday morning newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, is now available at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner on our website, and you can get our Monday through Friday newsletter as well, and Christina Lurie's new sports-themed newsletter on Saturdays. I'll tell you more about what's in the newsletter today, right after I tell you Brittany Merlot's state forecast for today. She says, showers and storms are spreading into the state as low pressure swirls by to the south of us, with some rounds of rain expected to remain the rest of this week, and then a hot and humid weekend sits on the horizon. So for today, rain especially over the southeastern half of Wisconsin, substantial in spots, she says. Some spotty showers and thunderstorms everywhere else by midday, highs today in the mid-70s, a northeast wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Rain ending early, partial clearing overnight, lows in the low 50s up north, near 60 in the south, a north wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. All right, in the daily newsletter that Christina Lurie puts together, of course, her June Dairy Month story is about the Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research. Did you ever wonder how microbes affect the safety, the quality, the texture, and the flavor of cheese? Of course not, but other people do. How about how bacteria can affect different types of cheese? How about how do you extend a cheese's shelf life? This is what the cheese nerds do at the Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research, and we are far healthier and better for their work, and you can read more about it. She's got an article on Colby cheese. I've been through Colby many a time. I've been in the Colby parade when it was in my state Senate district. None of it's going to like get me to really like Colby cheese, but it was invented there, and a lot of people do like it. And there's even tips on how to serve it and get the most out of Colby cheese. And also an article on Door County fish boils and where to find some of the really good ones. So again, all of that is in our newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. I forgot to mention to you, Parker, that when I was in Regina over the weekend, looking at the flatness of the Saskatchewan prairie, there actually was a natural feature that they went out of their way to show me. All kinds of mounds about 10, 12 feet high.
Okay.
Taking up an entire city block. And our hosts, our friends said, you know, guess what those are? And my first thought was they look like big piles of wood chips. He said, no. I said, how about compost? No, wasn't that either. You know, was it sand, you know, for plowing the streets? So like, no, you're close. Those are all the snow piles that are still melting up there. I mean, like I said, an entire city block of mounds, you know, 10, 12 feet high. And of course, all the schmutz from the roads, all the dirt and all that stuff is on top of the snow. And so it's kind of keeping it insulated.
Sure.
So that's why it's melting slower. It is slowly melting. But yeah, there's still snow piles up there.
I wonder how long that's going to take to go away completely.
Just in time for the first flakes, if I know anything about weather in Canada. That's it.
Yeah,
the other thing I will say about being up there with these folks, friendliest people, again, the Canadians. When our flight was canceled on Sunday, do you know, unlike in any other American airport, your flight is canceled. It's the only way out of town that day. We had to wait 24 hours. Not one person lost their minds and blew up at the ticket agent or the gate agents there. Everybody was just very like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to cancel my flight. It must have been my fault. Yeah, just the nicest. It was such a change of pace. It was just really nice to see.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that, again, unlike our first commenter online this morning, we can be friendly all the time if we choose to be. We just have to choose to
be. Maybe you just need to be eating more maple syrup. And more poutine, and then you're nice.
Poutine.
Maybe
that's it.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. Poutine. I'm happy to add that to my diet much more often. And then Derek Van Orden can make more fat jokes, which is fine. As I mentioned, the Cubs beat the Brewers 5-3. The Cubs have upped their division lead to 6.5 games over the second-place Brewers, who've won the NL Central each of the past 2 years. Isaac Collins hit a two-run homer for Milwaukee coming up tonight. Jacob Mizorowski will make his second major league pitching start tonight for the Brewers, and you can catch the pregame starting at 6:30 on several Civic Media stations. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn much more. Boy, we have got a lot coming up for you today, all from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. So thank you for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's take a couple of minutes here and talk about what's called the power of the purse in government, your tax dollars and how they're allocated. I don't know if you paid attention to the rallies this past weekend, but in America, we don't have kings. We give the power of the purse to our elected officials in Congress and in our legislature to write up budgets. A president or a governor can sign or veto them in certain ways. And then once that budget is signed, it is up to the president or governor in the executive branch to dole out those funds. In some cases, without meddling from the other branch of government, as long as the executive branch doesn't meddle in what the legislative branch is doing. And I've got two examples to tell you about at the state and federal level that illustrate what's going on in our state and in our country today. You know how divided the Wisconsin Supreme Court is right now with its four progressives and its three conservative justices. Hard to imagine they'd agree on much, but there was a unanimous ruling yesterday, 7-0, striking down some of what Republican legislators did in 2018. To take you back then, Tony Evers had just beaten Scott Walker, who was running for a third term as governor. And Josh Call had won the race for attorney general, J.B. Van Hollen, if memory serves. It's been a while now. Anyway, but so they'd won their elections, Call and Evers. in November. They weren't going to take the oath of office, of course, until, what, January 3rd? So in the weeks afterwards, the legislature met. The Republicans called themselves in. When that happens after an election, but before they're all done with the term, that's called a lame duck session because, you know, again, they're supposed to have all the power of a lame duck. But actually, they still can set laws if the outgoing executive, in this case, Governor Scott Walker, is willing to sign them. And so the legislators stripped away some powers from the governor and from the attorney general. And Scott Walker could have stood up for the dignity of the office that he was leaving. He could have said, no, this may be passed by my Republican friends in the legislature, but I have to stand here for the integrity of the governor's office. Oh, no, come on. We're talking about Scott Walker. He signed those in a heartbeat, and out the door he went, taking powers away from Tony Evers and Josh Call. We won't dwell on the governor part of it. We still have Republicans controlling the legislature, and they're still holding up well more than 100 nominations from Governor Evers and have all these other restrictions. But this Supreme Court ruling yesterday was about the Attorney General's office, and the court ruling unanimously that the legislature, through its Joint Finance Committee, does not have the authority to approve settlement agreements made by the State Department of Justice in certain types of cases. So sometimes when there are lawsuits involving state government, the attorney general represents the state, and sometimes there are settlements in those cases. The Joint Finance Committee, the Republicans, were saying, well, the attorney general can't do any of those things, reach a settlement, without our say-so because, you know, we have the power of the purse. And in an initial challenge back when the state Supreme Court had a conservative majority, the conservative justices agreed with that Republican point of view, saying, yep, the legislature has the power of the purse, and so they should have some say-so when the executive branch, through the attorney general, is settling cases. But even back then, they said, that's how it is overall, but we're not saying there wouldn't be instances where that wouldn't be appropriate. And finally came some ways in which that would apply. For example, there could be settlements that involve civil enforcement or actions that other state agencies in the executive branch ask the Department of Justice to pursue. And in those cases, you really do have an executive branch that is no longer dependent on the power of the purse. They're funded, you know, and they're going to go do their thing on behalf of the people of Wisconsin. And in this latest case, this is where the state Supreme Court said that these types of enforcement, like for environmental cases, consumer protection cases, lawsuits over a breach of contract, financial regulation, all of these things outlined in the Wisconsin Examiner article by Henry Redman. All of these things are at the core of executive branch power. And you know who wrote that? It wasn't one of the progressive justices. It was one of the conservatives, Justice Brian Hagedorn. And the other conservative justices agreed that in those cases, the legislature can't put guardrails. They can't intervene in the settlement process. Now, this isn't the world's biggest deal, of course, but it's a sign that no matter how much some politicians try to grab power, at some point, balance is going to be restored. You're going to have Supreme Court justices in this case who will point out where there has been an overreach. But it didn't come for 6 years, and it didn't come for several elections until you, the voters, got involved and handed the Supreme Court back to a progressive majority that would hear those arguments and convince the conservative justices to come along. Meanwhile, on the national side of things, you have President Trump again saying he's going to extend the lifetime of TikTok and not face a ban. But the thing is, that ban was passed by Congress. It's the thing that he's supposed to be enforcing, and he's saying, no, I just won't enforce it. And Congress just lets him. You know, as happens in dictatorships. You've got a president who's willing to drag the U.S. into a Middle East war now with Iran, ignoring the War Powers Act. Congress just lets him. That's what happens in dictatorships. And now Trump is trying to use something called pocket rescission to once again cut spending that has been approved by Congress. But he is ignoring the law and not letting Congress have the power of the purse. And Congress just lets him. Kind of thing that happens in dictatorships. We'll have an update on the Trump big bloated budget bill and what's being said about that as well throughout the course of the morning. First, we're going to have the Midwest Farm Report, and then we're going to hear from Dan Schaefer on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlaw.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Metnair on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
There might be some new technology entering the dairy realm that could impact sales of raw milk. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Now, let's remember, here in Wisconsin, we've got laws in place that make it illegal to sell raw milk. But in California, they're looking at ways around that. A company called Tamarack Biotics has gotten initial FDA acceptance of its light-based milk process. Bob Comstock is the company's CEO.
It's kind of difficult to pasteurize milk with ultraviolet light because it doesn't penetrate into the milk. So you have to do it in very thin films and with very high turbulence to renew the surface frequently. And that enables you to kill all the bad bugs in milk very effectively. In fact, we are more effective than heat at killing all the bad bugs.
Bob Comstock, the CEO of a company called Tamarack Biotics. It's a food technology company based in Fresno, California, working at this new science-backed non-thermal way to treat milk and still call it raw. Markets and overnight electronic trade as we get rolling on a Wednesday. A little bit mixed as far as grain. Your numbers are next.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese in Chicago dropped another 2 cents to 177. 40-pound block cheese down 2.5 at 175.5. Double A butter on Tuesday down 1.5, 257.75 per pound. This morning, July corn is up 2. December new crop currently up 2, 441. July soybeans are unchanged. November new crop up 1 at 1068. The wheat for July currently a nickel stronger, 553 a bushel. The July class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently 3 cents stronger, 1799 a hundredweight. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies to stay with us in the overnight with showers. Even a couple of rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Light winds, morning lows of the lower 60s. On your Wednesday, showers and storms around, some locally heavy rainfall with highs in the upper 70s. Currently 62 degrees.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important. And it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. Go-To for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
Who wins in war? Billionaires do. We discuss one such billionaire's efforts to buy Wisconsin elections and the lawsuit to stop them with Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson of Law Forward.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's a Wednesday morning. It is June 18th, 2025. Welcome back to Mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlow. Nice to have you along. And again, since we expanded the show to 3 hours, and we know not everybody can sit around and catch, you know, all 12 segments, no, not, yeah, 12 segments that we do throughout the course of the day. You might miss one or two here or there. So occasionally we'll play some of the 8:30 ones back in the 6:30 half hour. And why wouldn't you do that with Dan Schaefer, political director at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area? And he covered the state Democratic convention. He also had that column about whether Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term. In fact, I just wrote an article over at upnorthnewswi.com about that same topic. It does not, unlike Dan, who takes a position on the question, I don't. I reference his article and some of the other reactions to it, and then, you know, ask, what do you think? Do you think the governor should run for a third term? Anyway, so we talked about that with Dan, but he mentioned having an upcoming column on convention observations. And so I started yesterday's conversation by asking him to share a couple of those observations with us.
I had an opportunity to interview the keynote speaker for the event, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock. So go check that one out at the Recombobulation Area. And then I wrote a story about the chair vote on Sunday with Devin Remicker coming out ahead over Joe Zepecki and William Garcia. It did go to a second round of rank in the ranked choice vote there, which I thought was pretty interesting. But so you can read that there. And I'm also writing a kind of a longer what Recombobulation Area readers will be accustomed to reading after big events that I cover. You know, 10 takeaways is typically what I will do there. And I'm finishing that up now. You know, it was my number one takeaway on the list as I'm going through it here is it was really the Ben Wickler show. It was, you know, Ben Wickler celebrating his the end of his run, his 6 years as chair of the state Democratic Party. He took the stage. I lost count of how many different times that he took the stage over the course of the week. Obviously, some ceremonial duties bringing it in and out. But he also delivered a 17-minute speech of his own, a really powerful one. He also joined Senator Tammy Baldwin during her primetime address to kind of have a conversation between the two of them instead of just hearing the senator speak. And, you know, so much of what was talked about was, you know, just the last 6 years of his leadership and what that has meant to transform the party. And I think in so many ways, if we look from 2010 to 2018 in Wisconsin politics, we can characterize that as the Walker era. Perhaps 2019 to 2025 could be characterized as the Wickler era.
Oh, I think that's entirely fair. And that is not a knock on Tammy Baldwin or Mark Buchan or Gwen Moore or anybody else. But I mean, it is a pace that he set. It is, you know, a fundraising era of productivity that will probably be unmatched in state Democratic Party history. And look, I know at a convention, folks are naturally upbeat, even Democrats. Sometimes they do form circular firing squads and things like that, which is why I asked this question. Yes, they celebrated Ben Wickler. Did you feel like the delegates were in a healthy place going forward, or did you get a sense that there was a lot of, you know, woe is me, Ben Wickler's going, the party is going to lose momentum and things like that?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of optimism. I think, you know, just from throughout the weekend, I think, you know, even though there was a lot of competition especially between the top two candidates, Remicker and Zepecki in the race, I think most people liked both of the candidates and just had to decide which of the two candidates they'd like more. But I also think, you know, it's just, Yes, it's Wicklers are big shoes to fill. And as I grabbed a quote from the Wisdom's treasurer, I don't know how many other people were taking note of that particular speech in the convention, but Treasurer Randy Udell, who is also a state representative, he said that the party operated at an unprecedented scale in 2024, raising nearly $70 million, saying this performance exceeded that of any state party across the country. So that is quite the legacy to leave with the party and some big shoes to fill. But I think overall, the mood, I think the spring election results have absolutely reinvigorated the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I do wonder what this convention would have been like had that election not happened, had it been, you know, just coming off of the loss against Donald Trump last fall. You know, if that was the main topic that people were thinking about. But I think with the spring election, any mention of Susan Crawford, any mention of defeating Elon Musk got just raucous applause in the building. So I think that those results from April, you know, certainly had an impact nationally, but obviously had a clear impact on the state of mind from Wisconsin Democrats. That's for sure.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area and Civic Media's political editor from Tony Up and Ashley on YouTube. I think the next era could be Representative Mark Bocan, really liking what he's doing recently. Bernie Sanders even mentioned him as someone to watch. That wouldn't surprise me. And I think part of that, I'm not giving Derek Van Orden credit here, but could be the Van Orden effect where Mark Bocan felt like, well, somebody's got to stand up to this guy, or he's just going to bully his way through and truly be Wisconsin's next Joseph McCarthy. So, but it's not just Van Orden. Mark Bocan has been increasingly vocal about what the Progressive Caucus among House Democrats should want and what they stand for.
Yeah, he's been, you know, I think his profile is certainly rising in a number of ways. He's had some high profile moments questioning members of the Trump administration. And yes, he was there at the convention this weekend. He delivered a speech too. He talked about, dealing with Derek Van Orden and how he, Mark Bocan of the second district, has held more town halls in the third district than Derek Van Orden has this year. So he's really making an effort there to you know, really put Mr. Van Orden on notice, and boy, doesn't he need it. You and I know that well.
Oh, do we ever. So you wrote this column last week asking if Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term. At any point, were any food products thrown at you during the convention, or people just coming up to you just to boo? Anything like that? How were you received in the Dells this weekend?
There was a lot of feedback about that column. I will say that a lot of the conversations that I had were off the record, so I'm not going to share any of the details with that. But I do think there were a lot of people who I would say are more receptive to it than what you might see publicly right now. I'll just say that. Didn't have any problems with the food and the drinks and all that. Didn't wake up with any arrows in my back. You know, or anything like that. You know, it's one thing to write a column like this, calling for a very well-liked Democrat to step aside and not seek another term right before the convention. But, you know, people can disagree without being disagreeable. I think there are a lot of issues that are fake both sides, conversation. I think this is an actual both sides conversation. I think this is one that, you know, I think there can be a case to be made that Evers is the right person to run again. And obviously I made the case that he'd be better off passing the torch. And so Evers did not give any indication on what he's going to do in his roughly, he had a fairly short speech, about between 10 and 15 minute speech that he delivered at the convention. You know, obviously he had a presence there. He had an ice cream hospitality suite going during the afternoon of the convention, very on brand for the governor. But there was really no indication of whether or not he would be running, even though the theme of the convention overall was the road to 2026. So I think clearly it's going to be a big question going forward. The party had some decisions to make this weekend. This was had people talking. This column did, but any takes on it, you know, might be forthcoming in the weeks ahead. Who knows, though?
It was a very it's a very earnest question, and some very earnest emails have come in. We made it our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter. Should Governor Evers run for a third term? Folks can respond to it themselves by sending us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. I read through some of them yesterday, and I will through the course of the week again. But I just wanted to second that note that this is something that people feel very genuine about. I won't say strongly. It's probably something they weren't thinking much about until recently, but they have some very genuine feelings about, you know, whether he should or should not run for another term. And for folks saying, well, you know, is this going to have an impact on next year's race? I would point out that the election is still, you know, just under a year and a half away. This convention weekend will be a distant memory by that point.
That's true. And, you know, the governor has said that he's going to make this decision after the budget process is over. There's some things we could talk about when it comes to the budget process.
Oh, but wait, there's the budget process. We started the program this morning with that social media post from Chris Kapinga from Waukesha County saying, well, you know, if I got to vote for what joint finance my fellow Republicans are giving me, well, maybe I just would rather not have a budget at all. I think to a degree that's actually telegraphing what Republicans might want to do. And I'm giving you all of 30 seconds to tell me if you think it's a real possibility or not that Republicans would just not send the governor a budget.
I think it's interesting. We also saw how the Scott Walker boosted that comment from Chris Kapinga on his social media feed as well. So that's interesting. You know, we've heard before that they might need Democratic votes in the state Senate to pass a budget. Maybe they just don't even pass a budget at all.
That was Dan Schaefer visiting with us yesterday. You'll hear him Tuesdays at 8:30 here on Mornings powered by Up North News. And I'm not trying to complicate the discussion. I just thought that it was interesting that people seem to be going in one direction, which was, well, if a couple of Republicans don't like what joint finance is going to do, they're going to need Democratic votes in order to pass something. Well, that would have been the case in Congress, but here they don't have to pass a state budget. And so that, to me, might be a head fake about needing Democratic support when they might just let this thing go and roll the dice and take their chances. But on the D.C. side of things, the Senate is now taking up Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. And Senate Republicans have been hearing a lot from people unhappy with the degree of cuts in there, especially to Medicaid, but many other things as well. And Senate Republicans listened and have made the cuts even deeper in their version that came out yesterday. But they also undid something the House wanted to cut, and that would be the tax credits for creating a whole new generation of clean energy jobs. Now, this is something where somebody like a Tom Tiffany has been saying that the entire Inflation Reduction Act should be repealed so that, you know, big oil can have whatever it wants. There shouldn't be any solar or wind in Tom Tiffany's view of things. Fortunately, there are some brighter people in Congress who understand everything from climate to job creation and to tax credits, and they want those preserved. But in order to do that, it means even deeper cuts for things like Medicaid. Ron Johnson has taken a look at the first draft of the Senate Republican budget, and he's doing the same thing that he did 8 years ago. He's saying, nope, not going to be part of this. I don't support it. Trump and other Republicans had to come to him and say, what do you want to get your support on this bill? And he says, oh, it puts too much on the deficit. But if you give me a special carve out for pass-through corporations, I'll support it. And he did. And it blew a $2 trillion hole in the deficit. This new bill would blow anywhere from a $3 to $5 trillion hole in the deficit. And Ron Johnson currently says he's a no. Stay tuned to find out what he's going to ask for in return. We're going to visit with Melissa Kay coming up as part of today's history lesson, as we always do at this time of the mornings, up north and live here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. Subscribe to those newsletters. We'll check Melissa Kay's quest for a pet pigeon after this.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Trump administration's order to keep a Michigan coal plant running could mean higher energy bills in Wisconsin. Just days before the aging plant was set to retire, the Department of Energy ordered it to stay open, citing emergency wartime powers. Staff were already gone and there was no coal on site. The utility that owns the plant wants to recoup the tens of millions of dollars it cost to bring it back online through price increases on customers throughout the Midwest grid, including Wisconsin. Summer nights in Wisconsin are heating up, literally, according to Wisconsin's Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. Our state is about 3 degrees warmer in the summertime than it was in the 1950s, and we're feeling that heat mostly at night, with temperatures staying above 70 more and more often. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then, consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided 2 copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember that viral video that accompanied the song, Fleetwood Mac's Dreams, the guy on a skateboard drinking his cranberry juice and he starts singing? Speaking of cranberry juice, Melissa Kay is here, and we're going to talk about the Cranberry Blossom Festival in Wisconsin Rapids, among other things. Right after I tell you that that song, Fleetwood Mac's Dreams, was the number one song this week in 1977. One more history note before we get to Melissa here. On this day in 1873, Susan B. Anthony was fined $100. That was a lot of money back then. Fined $100 for attempting to vote in the 1872 presidential election. How dare those women try to vote? And look where we are now. We've got women who are not only voting, but becoming big-time radio stars. And before we get to the Cranberry Blossom Festival in Wisconsin Rapids, of course it's Wednesday. Of course it's Melissa. Of course she's excited because it's time for this week's installment of
Pigeon Quest.
Spare no expense.
So much. You guys, I showed that off to everybody.
Oh, that's so nice. And we've made you sit here all throughout the commercial break. You've been just dying to tell us the news because apparently, once again, your email machine went off last night. And
yes, I love that they send it to me on Tuesdays.
We don't know. So let's do it. What's okay. new?
Okay. So they are so happy for Paint Bucket. Paint Bucket's the winner. I'm getting Paint Bucket.
You're getting Paint Bucket.
Yes. And they ship them by mail. So I'm going to have to like go to the post office to pick up Paint Bucket. That's going to be shipped. But she said that they have the special relationship with their local place and it's all fine.
Parker, I don't know how I feel about this.
Okay. So my feeling is, what's it going to be like? Jeopardy.
You in danger, girl. You're in danger.
Well, yeah, that part's not great. My thinking is, imagine walking out of the post office holding a pigeon.
Paint bucket. Yes, I know.
In a box. It will be in a box that is holding.
But yes, but you're not going to contain yours. You're going to open that box in the paint. The
second.
Oh, no, I'm not opening it in the car.
That was the second choice for an SNL skit. Pigeon in a box. Paint bucket. Wow.
So Paint Bucket could be here as soon as they're going to ship it on Monday.
Okay.
So by next Wednesday, I could have. Mm-hmm. A pigeon.
You're so excited about this. You know who's so not excited? Do you know where? You know the saddest creature on this planet right now is little Bell Pepper, little Pep, who didn't make the cut and isn't going to be living with Melissa. Not yet, anyway.
That's true. Could be too.
You know,
we'll start with
like,
one.
Paint much like cat ladies. Friend. Bird ladies, they got to get their start somewhere. And
oh, come on. Now, actually, no, that's not true.
Tony asks, have you pigeon-proofed your place yet? Yes, we've discussed this.
A little bit, yes. Uh-huh. I still need to check my plants because I don't know if any of them are, you know, hazardous to my newly arrived friend.
Paint Bucket.
My co-worker.
Oh no. Well,
no.
If that wasn't a clue to get back to the history lesson, I don't know what was. Let's celebrate the birthday of Tommy Hunt, who was born this day in 1933, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the Flamingos.
My love must be a kind of blind love.
Now, I did not know this, but Tommy Hunt from the Flamingos actually passed away back in mid-February, that week that I was away on vacation. February 15th, he passed away at the age of 91. So I love this version of it, though. I mean, our Garfunkel has a really cool version of I Only Have Eyes for You, but the Flamingos, to me, this is the best one. On this day in 1948, Columbia Records introduced the Long Plain Record album and a public demonstration at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. Also born this day, composer Sammy Kahn was born in 1913, passed away in 1993. Songs include Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. A lot of Sinatra tunes, Love and Marriage, Love is the Tender Trap, My Kind of Town, Chicago. And one of my favorites, here's Sinatra singing a Sammy Kahn classic with Count Basie and his orchestra.
Come fly with me, we'll fly away. If you can use.
Melissa, I got to send you this album, or just have you download it. Frank Sinatra, Live at the Sands. Best album. Just the best. On this day in 1983, Sally Ride became America's first astronaut in space. Happy birthday to Blake Shelton. He is 49 years old today.
I thought he was older than that.
Yeah, I would think so too, but no, 1976. So yeah, next year would be his 50th birthday. He just looks, you know, ridden hard and put away wet is all that it is.
Gotta birthday. Have that for a country.
Happy birthday to Nathan Morris, a founding member of Boys to Men, who is 54 years old today. And finally, Sir Paul McCartney, one of the Beatles, is 83 years old today. There's all kinds of Beatles songs I could put up here to market. But Melissa's here. We like to have fun. Paul McCartney has fun. He likes to write those silly love songs. So, happy birthday, 83 years old, Paul McCartney today. Today is International Day for Countering Hate Speech. So go to Derek Van Orden's Twitter feed and say something in response today. It's interesting that today is National Clean Your Aquarium Day, and it's also National Fishing Day. I don't think the two are related, but you never know. Melissa Kay from WFHR 97.5 and, of course, 105.5 WIRI and soon-to-be pigeon parent of Paint Bucket.
I don't know if the name's going to stay, but
soon-to-be. Okay. No, I'm not going to say it. No more KFC jokes. Got to go.
I don't know. My brother said McBucket, and I'm kind of liking that.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa.
Oh, boy.
Congratulations.
Always a pleasure, guys.
All right. Much more ahead in the next hour of our mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Ayatollah Khamenei is warning of irreparable damage and an all-out regional war if the U.S. intervenes in this six-day-old Israel-Iran conflict. The BBC Sebastian Usher says the fighting is intensifying.
The Israeli military said 20 armed sites in Tehran had been hit. There was another evacuation order for another district in Iran.
President Trump expected to sign an executive order giving TikTok's Chinese owner another 3 months to divest. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
There hasn't been a winning bid for TikTok since the pressure campaign began. And in the meanwhile, this app has become one of the most influential social networks on the planet.
It'll be ByteDance's third reprieve. One of New York City's Democratic mayoral candidates has been freed after he was handcuffed by federal agents while he tried to escort a migrant from immigration proceedings.
I did not come today expecting to get arrested.
That's Brad Lander,